their strength we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance, again and may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance, again and may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance, again and may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the hangers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever-expanding faith. In the practice of constant devotion. In the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Nityambi tatyambi saha. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. Have the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
Thank you.
We are hated and suffering. If anything, suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If anything, suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I have a sense of humor about this. So, last night in group, okay, I'm sitting, and we turn around, and there's Sherry leaning, and I, and this kind of shot of electricity runs through me. I go, oh, I didn't expect this. And then the discussion starts on a koan. What is a koan? And I'm sitting there and listening to some people and just finding it really fascinating. And then I start noticing, gosh, I have to pee. And I go, I went to the bathroom already before group because I know just to do the right things.
It's already been done, so it can't be happening.
It can't be happening, and I'm not going to miss this because this is
really interesting, and you want to.
Yeah, interesting. I want to be here.
Yeah.
And so the discussion's going, and then all of a sudden it's just boom. I have to pee. I have to go to the bathroom.
Like now.
Now. Yeah. I mean, it's like. Mm-hmm. So I leave and I go out the door and I don't want to go this way. It's pitch black, so I can't run down to the outhouse or did it. But by the time I get to the bathrooms, I peed my pants, which I haven't done since grade school or, you know, it's just this thing. And then last night, well, that's embarrassing, of course. Luckily, it's a privileged environment, so you don't have to look at people and you've got your own process going on. But the thing that was clearer to me that I saw, you know, they're trying to get everybody's was looking at what is their own koan. And I was kind of struggling with that, and kind of what came to me is what where I'm stuck, the place that I'm stuck. In life, I have lots of different content areas where I'm stuck, but the process is that whenever I start to kind of move forward, the whatever words you want, ego, conditioning, demons, whatever, they just rush in and they hit. And even if I'm prudent and I do this, this, and this in my practice, something like that will happen, and it'll be like, I can't, it feels like it's not me. It's not me choosing it. It's not me. You know, last night in group, they brought up at one point, it's a lot of times there's a payoff in things like that because you can be at the center of the attention. And I didn't feel like it's a payoff because there's lots of things I have done in my life and can do to be in an ego state. But like something hurtful, embarrassing can be a voice or it can be something like that will just come in. And so I'm just trying to get a sense of what the message is or that I need to do or not do so that it doesn't, that some healing can drop in that isn't based on doing X, Y, Z, which I always kind of do with this, all the things.
Yeah, that was kind of the conditioning to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And what you're looking at is creating that opening, or being available to that opening for that healing to come in. And if I'm with you, the process that you're talking about that happens to you in those tough places, even when you're being really diligent, the voices just come in, and it's usually something hurtful or embarrassing, and just derail the whole process, which it sounds like is what happened in group last night. Mm-hmm. Here you are, really interested, paying attention, mm-hmm. looking at your own koan, listening to others, you know, being informed by all of that, and it kind of puts you in that really tough, I want to be here, but I need to, you know, and not allowing mm-hmm. until kind of rushing around and it's dark, and putting that person in a really difficult situation, mm-hmm. position, and obviously derailing them from where they want to be, which is here, and, you know, listening, being with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Wow, what a workshop, right? And as you said, it's great to bring that sense of humor, and it sounds like also just putting it out there. I mean, it's kind of like, well, I don't think the voices can latch onto this if I'm just going to talk about it out loud.
Well, it's like here in humble submission, I deeply bow. I answer this. This is what it is. And
what a great place to get to, isn't it? When we're in that place, here in humble submission, I'm not going to go again. This is where I'm at.
Yeah.
Kind of surrender. Which often can be that opening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is that? Is that it?
That's about it, yeah.
Thanks, John. Rebecca?
Wow, that's so helpful that to see that process in the filter, through filter of my koan that mm-hmm. I'm looking at, and it's a very similar process, it feels like, that I'll be going along doing following the energy and all of that, and then there's just a stopping. Mm-hmm. There's just a stopping of, and it's so painful to get derailed like that. And, you know, sometimes it's a project that I'm doing. Sometimes it's a project that I already finished. But it just cuts off any flow.
Really cut off any flow of that energy that's building, and it's painful. I mean, you can hear the abruptness mm-hmm. of it, like a almost like a shock or something kind of harsh.
Yeah, it's like getting boxed, you know, one to one two.
Here you are going along, being diligent as we were talking about, in that energy, and then all of a sudden, bam, bam.
Yeah. And so the koan aspect of it, which is so helpful in what was just said, is there's that sense of what. You know, that's what Sherry was talking about last night. Because it would be so easy, and I usually go to, all right, so this time I'm going to...
Right. I've seen this and this, and so this time it's not going to happen, essentially, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to cut it off before it happens or something like that.
Yes, like that. And I just saw when you said that, and it could even be at this time I'm going to really watch
it. I'm going to see it.
It takes mm-hmm. the language of practice. Yeah. I know that I'm not supposed to overcome it, but I got it. Now, yeah. this time I'm going to see it, which uh-huh. is still different than, what?
Yeah. Well, that's so good, the back to the how, not the what.
Yeah.
So it's like it just takes over that language and puts it back into that process of essentially figuring it out or overcoming it.
Yeah.
But it's this place of, that was being modeled last night in our first group for the year practice retreat, of just in that place of what?
Yeah.
Like, what is it?
Yeah.
And that's that opening that Jeff was talking about, that we're inviting. What?
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to get somewhere or overcome anything.
Yeah, we're really, I mean, that in itself is so huge.
It is, isn't it?
And I got sort of a first installment of what feels like a real blessing or grace in that this morning. So I listened to recordings all through the night last uh-huh. night. And it was so funny because I would wake up periodically and I would think, that fits my koan perfectly. That informs my koan perfectly. About six times that happened in
wow.
my life. But the grace that I felt like I got this morning was this distance to see, I have such an interesting array of karma attached to me. You know, I mean, it's like I've got this guilt karma, I've got this accomplishment karma, I've got this defensive karma, I've got this, and it's not taking it personally at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's like if I'm just looking at this human who was born into this life,
mm-hmm.
and with that particular energy system and package, you know, this kind of in terms of that house she gets to clean up,
mm-hmm.
what interesting dirty rooms she gets to clean, you know? And there is a sense of disidentification and curiosity and, you know, in that just that perspective. It wasn't one particular demon that I'm trying to overcome at this point. It was more of a standing back and going, wow, she's really, this is interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, gosh, what a good demonstration of the process of the koan, mm-hmm. that opening up to be informed.
Yeah.
So it occurs to you that listen to your recordings all night. And there's the statement, the first installment,
yeah.
because that's what seems like happens when we open up. We don't get to decide when a Sherry says we have to be ready.
Yeah.
And when we're ready, we'll receive. But it seems like part of the getting ready is just to open up and go, what? What is it? And so there's the recording all night, and just like multiple times, six times in the night, just because of the waking up. Oh, that would be, because it's being, it's the unfolding, it's being unveiled for us.
Yeah.
And then it brings us to a really disidentified place where we can see the person who's got all this very interesting multitude of karma attached to her,
yeah.
and a clear understanding that it's not personal. She didn't make that happen. She kind of,
right.
you know,
born into
so
it.
So then we're just talking over up in the sky, and he goes, "Okay, here's your karma for the ride," and just
mm-hmm.
really interested and curious at all the karma that she's cleaning up. And there's no, open and curious and interested,
yeah.
which is a very different place than how do I overcome this, or I'm going to see it, or that kind of thing.
Thank you.
So,
same process.
Funny how that happens.
Must be a popular process. And I was trying to say it last night too. You know how you really want to this your focus the con. You know, you really want say what you know like. Experiencing or being in the presence of presence, you know, and then it's like conditioning just comes in and messes it all up. What conditioning would like to have me believe?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's doing stuff, but it wants me to also believe that it's just messing things up.
Uh-huh. It's doing stuff.
You know, it's doing stuff like moving my attention here, moving my attention there.
Yeah, trying to get attention to different places.
Yeah. And then on top of it, saying that's messing up.
Oh, right, because that's a problem, and that shouldn't be happening, right. And it's messing it all up.
And
you're really trying to be present to presence, and yeah.
Right. And how can that be? But it was either when I was walking and listening to my recording or when I was sitting here meditating, but what dropped in was, what if all that was contained in the presence of presence? Which it is, of course.
But there's that spirit of inquiry. There's that questioning again that draws us into that much larger perspective. What if all that is contained in the presence of presence?
Yes, because we know basically it is.
Yeah.
And yet conditioning really wants me to think there's something I need to do about this.
That shouldn't be happening, and there's something you need to do about this. This isn't part of
well, you know, because you just need to be always realizing.
Okay, what is conditioning here? Let me go. Seems like you know a lot about presence. Is that true? Let me hear.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just so interesting to watch that because, as I also noted last night, that the things that have the conditioned, the karmic patterns of conditioning that have, if you want to say, faded away, were because I wasn't giving them any energy.
Uh-huh.
Just kept, okay,
yeah.
That's what you say, okay, you know. And then really, in the sense there was this one little thing, I think, which, I don't know, I'm saying it's necessary, it might not be, is, I think it is, pulling together and not going there. And it was best for me described in I could see it most in meditation, but I know I was doing it in other places where, say at the end of the meditation, I've said this before, but at the end of the meditation there's always this wanting to, used to be a full-blown voice and full-blown, checking off good, bad, A, B, C, what meditate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a F. But then it got a little less, it got more and more subtle until, you know, it's like just this, and it's like I have to sit there and just like, I conditioning wants to say, I'm sitting there, well, I don't care. But what I saw last night, the words were, I'm sitting there in holy indifference.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a huge difference, I'm seeing.
Yeah, well, there's that subtle looking to see the difference between holy indifference versus I don't care.
Right, because of course I do care,
yeah.
And that's why I'm sitting
that's
there
right.
Holy indifference.
Yeah.
But it was such a full distance, that was okay. Or not.
Well, like you said, there's that karmic pattern, those energies that we talked about that were handed to us, and it sounds like your experience is they tend to lose energy and dissipate when we're not paying attention to them, when the response is a holy indifference of, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that I really was happy to have those words come into my awareness because it puts gives me words, since conditioning has a bunch of words, you know, to realize holy indifference, and it's not I don't care in the way that conditioning is trying to make me think I don't care. Of course,
right.
I care, I don't care, whatever it is, it's, you know, it's all the same. This is the heart's desire, you know. So.
Yeah, and you know that experience and the words, you're happy to have holy indifference come in.
Yeah.
Because it really crystallizes what you're already experiencing. That's a different kind of thing, holy indifference, than I don't care.
Exactly.
Yeah, because of course you do care. But what we're learning to do, we often talk about is lose interest in the voices.
Yeah. Thank you,
Helen. Elizabeth.
I was wondering if you could help me get an understanding of something that was mentioned in group last night, negative payoff. I don't have an understanding. You guys, here's some examples, some like classics or, you know, top three usual. So I can get a sense.
Let me get out my Zen book and I'll well, what do you, so can you say a little bit more, because especially for folks who are listening, what was the conversation around that you were hearing around negative? So we're talking about payoffs, right? So what's the payoff for some of the behaviors that we do? Because, you know, sometimes we're looking, we're like, gosh, why do I continue to do these things that are seem to be causing me a lot of suffering? So, you know, we are looking at, well, what's the payoff for doing them? And you're looking at, quote, negative payoff.
Well, that's what Sherry said, because I said, well, I understand if, like, I'm feeling less than, so I judge somebody else so I feel better than, or that kind of ego payoff to make myself feel good, or make ego feel better. And she said, no, I'm talking about negative payoff. And then she said, that's usually what it is, or what everybody has. And then I was just like, huh?
It's kind of left you in that questioning place, huh?
Yeah, it's a payoff for ego, I guess. I don't know.
Anyway. Yeah, say more about that. You saw it's maybe like a payoff for ego.
Well, it must be a payoff for ego, because there's no payoff for the human being or the practitioner. Uh-huh. I'm kind of assuming that's what she was. But what's the negative payoff for ego, and how that applies to my client? I have no idea. I don't have any understanding.
Yeah, well, let's keep following. It sounds like it's kind of unfolding as you're asking the questions, right? So you said, gosh, negative payoff. Well, it can't really be a payoff for the human being. I mean, the human being is suffering, so it must be, maybe it's a payoff for ego. So what would ego get out of these situations? So that might be a place to look, and not, you know, necessarily to answer, but when you were looking at a specific situation, right? I think you're talking about traveling and some of the things that came up around that.
Yeah, and it is what didn't make sense to me, or what I'm not clear about, is that ego would get a payoff if I said, like, oh, this is just too stressful, or this is just too much, I'm not going. Then I guess, yeah, ego would get a huge payoff because I didn't go to the workshop. But how is there a negative payoff if...
How about as it's happening?
As it's happening.
Not the end thing about going to the workshop or not going to the workshop, but what might be happening as that level of occupation, preoccupation is going on. So you were kind of talking about traveling, and it sounded like there's a lot of different things that cause, I don't know what you would say, stress or...
You know, code.
Overwhelm.
Yeah, for using a code word, but it's too much.
It's too much.
I don't want to leave alone.
So there's a lot of, could you say, conversation going on about... Is too much? Is overwhelming? I don't want to leave home. I want to go to the workshop. I know.
It's mostly distress, but I put words to it to kind of describe it for guidance sake, but it's more just like states of distress.
States of distress.
Versus specific back and forth duality type conversation.
Yeah. So just creating a lot of stress, not necessarily, it doesn't seem like a back and forth, but creating a lot of stress for you.
Yeah, like it just feels just stressful to leave home and my husband and the animals and go away and
And so when you're going through that place, does it feel like the attention is on a life process or more of a conditioned ego process?
Well, there's definitely a suffering process. Definitely a bunch of like a phyllo dough stacked up, whatever, lasagna suffering processes.
So it sounds like in that case, then suffering is getting a big payoff. There's a big pile of them getting a lot of attention.
What do you mean that suffering is getting a payoff?
Well, the suffering is getting the attention. That's the attention is somewhere that's creating the suffering. So as you said, it doesn't seem like the human's benefiting. So what is benefiting from all that going on? Where's the attention at? Is one place to look.
How is that different than just like normal, regular suffering?
I don't know if it is, but just kind of looking at that, where is the attention? as you pointed out before, you're looking at, well, maybe it's ego that's getting the payoff. What's the payoff for ego in that situation? So I don't have an answer for you. All I'm doing is maybe giving you places to, as you're talking, maybe those are places to look.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, and kind of back to our process of what? Because if we get into that place of, okay, negative payoff, wait, positive payoff, that tends to lead us, at least for me, into kind of some confusion or looking to condition mind for clarity.
But in another sense, it seems like there's not any payoff for ego, because if I'm using that, which, you know, we encounter that to transcend, so if I'm in that, those processes, like, oh my gosh, you know, let me find a recording, let me do it two-handed, let me make it. I'm going to bring this to the workshop then, if I can't, if I'm not.
Uh-huh.
How is that?
Kind of a shift, it sounds like.
So
there's a place of suffering, and then there's that, oh, I'm going to turn this into a workshop. I'm taking this.
Yeah, there's always suffering until that final level or more awakening and transcending. But
well, maybe that's a different process. So there's the suffering building. You said it reaches some sort of something, and then there's a, wait, let's turn this into a workshop. How about I talk about it? Let's get on the recorder. Let's bring it up in our retreat.
Yeah.
So that might be a different process than what we were talking about before, where there's a lot of suffering going on.
Or I guess there's both. Maybe.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I just wonder kind of what we're talking about. Like, what is that? And practicing that process of life informing that question.
Yeah.
What is payoff? What is payoff? Payoff for who?
Yeah, is that even part of my go on, or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if
I don't know yet.
You don't know.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's clear or can't.
What is my go on?
I know my go on, but I don't know if this negative payback thing is important. But she said it, so I just wish I could, like, I know I have it. You know, like, I'm not clear right now about it.
Yeah. But, well, maybe that's just something to kind of hold. You know. And maybe at some point that question will become more clear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Jen?
I love that, because totally different content, but I was looking at something very similar when I was recording last night about my co-op, where what is simultaneously incredibly fun and energizing about the process is completely maddening to conditioned mind, because, of course, the koan is something, you know, back to sort of that, gosh, these are the sets of things that this person has been given, right?
Yeah.
Good, bad, and ugly. We could say, you know, kind of all of it, the whole, since before the beginning of time, and then this came into being, right?
Which gives us some perspective.
It gives us some perspective, yeah. I just love that image earlier of it really taking that step back, you know? But so by the very nature of that, this is the koan. So I was talking last night, my koan is around a core piece of suffering processes. The very first one I saw long, long, long time ago was this, how can I get the most out of this? You know? And that can be really, really cool, positive, you know, gosh, there's so many choices. Or it can be just horrifically, like what conditioning would call selfish. Mm-hmm. How can I get the most from me? How can I, you know, sort of the whole thing? But what's exhilarating about all of it is, like, is that, of course, this is the koan, right? Because this is the karma that this person works with. And the maddening piece to conditioned mind is that that's going to be the lens through which I look at all of it.
Uh-huh.
Because that is the lens.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, it's it.
So, you know, there's some fabulous paragraph about it that I actually, years ago, I memorized it. I've got to sharpen that again because it's so good. It's basically that which you are seeking is causing you to seek.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, like, it's something about the person who is going around looking for their spectacles, not realizing that they're on the face the whole time, but not only looking in the wrong direction, but also not realizing that without those, you know, I'm going to confuse people and butcher it, so I'll stop there. But basically, that place of just by the nature of it, I'm going to look through that same karmic lens at the koan. It's just how it works. Mm-hmm. It's just how it works.
Yeah, I'm going to look at the koan through that same karmic lens because that's how it works. It's everywhere.
It's
as we were talking about last night, once we start to see a place that we're stuck, you know, like you said, I just want to get the most out of, you see it, first of all, it runs a gamut, and it becomes everywhere. I mean, it could be, you know, when you get food in line, or you know, when you come to group, or I mean, and it's just part of the process that we're going to be looking through that lens and maybe not know it. Like, oh, I didn't know I had spectacles.
Not know it. So it's like this. I just have this image of what is it like when there's you know a dog maybe has something on their nose and I don't realize that that's what's going on, so they keep backing away from it. But it keeps coming with them. It's some image like that. Like I keep. You know, there's this intuitive sense that it's happening, but I keep backing away from it, but I'm taking it with me as I back away from it.
Yeah, right? I think it's somehow.
So that's just like this, it's crazy making. But I think that's what makes that, we were talking last night, what is a con? You know, that flash of insight, where you just have that delightful, this is it. This is it. What's happening right now, this is it. And for just a second, we've had that step back.
Yeah.
And we see it. And I think that's why what you were just talking about, that what can be so helpful. Because you know, for me, it's an acknowledgement of a minute right now. Of course I am. That's not wrong.
Yes.
It's not bad. It's not even a problem.
Yeah.
I just am.
Yeah.
So then it sort of turns to this like, okay, life, I'm ready for, you know, help.
Yeah, I'm ready for help. Yeah, again, it's really humbling, isn't it, to that place that you're saying before the beginning of time, before that these things have been going on. And so it's, you know, we haven't really been alive for that long.
Right. Really. I mean, really.
Yeah. And we also use that image of, like, skin.
Yeah.
So it's just so difficult to realize, like you said, gosh, it feels like it's over. I just need to get away from it. But it's actually, like, on. It's
right.
On the nose, and you keep moving it away. And, you know, like same image, you don't realize you have those glasses on that you're looking through.
Mm-hmm.
And so that process of what is a way to offer a movement to ourselves out of that karmic place without actually trying to get out of that karmic place.
Yes. And I think that's one of the great gifts of recording. Because, you know, I was really sensing that last night, not recording. And the sense of, I actually spontaneously, because I have the gift of doing this retreat a number of times, I was like, okay, well, here's how it goes. And I just, in like 2.5 minutes, just did the process map of how the koan goes. Well, first, there's complete excitement. Then there's, well, but there's, maybe that's it, maybe that. And then, you know, and I just went through the whole thing. And it's so, I think what's delightful is, of course, before I press record, I'm pressing record just because that's what we do. That's who I am.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Not because I'm trying to figure something out, not because it's the right thing to do, not any of that. But just that's what we do. We press record. So I press record. I have no idea if any of that's in there. I don't know what's going to come out. I don't know anything. And so then it just feels like that process that we were talking about where it, you know, the unfolding. What was that? The first installment.
Yeah.
Right? And then we just, I mean, we just keep doing it, right?
Back to that here and home submission.
Exactly.
Like, I'm just hitting record because that's what we do.
Exactly.
Not because that.
And
it's, you know, really builds a lot of that ever-expanding faith, too, that when we practice that many times, you know, in a way, we're surprised. Well, I didn't know all that was in there. I just, there's my process that I do on this retreat in 2.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in a way, we're not surprised because that's what happens a lot when we turn it on. Things are
just
come out that we didn't know we were even there.
Yeah.
Like you said, because we're often looking through that karmic, most of the time we're looking through that karmic lens.
Yeah. I love that here in Humble Submission also. That was such a perfect reference to the Daily Recollection. Because what I was hearing in that is the way out, it's like, wow, this keeps happening, right? Which is that's what our teacher of our calling is, I forget. Like, this is the thing that keeps happening, right?
That's the ultimate stuck.
And the biggest back to payoff, that for me, that I can see, the biggest payoff is the self-hate that keeps the whole thing in place. And if I can have the courage and willingness, and truly as a practice, right, to not go to self-hate when whatever it is comes crashing down, that thing that always gets put in front of me, to not go to self-hate right there,
yeah.
That feels like the beginning of the unfolding, right? That gives the space for it to begin to open.
Yeah.
I won't do it. I will not. I don't care what you throw at me. I don't care if you throw embarrassment or humiliation or confusion or I can't figure or frustration or throw it all at me, but I'm not going to self-hate. I'm going to say it right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm with you. The karmic process is going to go on, just like you said. You could not have what happened with, and so that's going to happen. But the thing, the big payoff, or the thing that keeps it in place, locked in place, we could say, is self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can commit to, I'm not having any self-hatred around that in any kind of form, that actually is that opening. There's a space now. There's the unfolding can start to happen from that place.
Yeah. In fact, what I just thought is a really helpful place I could look to the attention there is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So where I'm supposed to go to confusion, where I'm supposed to go to frustration, where I'm supposed to go to humiliation, thank you for that. Thank you for this. Because it must be part of it, because here it is.
Yeah. Exactly. It should be happening right now, it's here.
But it is.
Yeah, and we can go right to gratitude. And I was also reminded of humor. It's such a great place to bring the attention to.
Yeah.
You know, just have some humor and humility.
Ooh, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Good move.
Wow.
That was pretty masterful. I haven't had that one in a long time. Wow.
Yeah, but I saw it at one point for me.
Exactly. Sorry. So close, though. Really good try. Because that's such a coup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it got me, but if I see it and I don't go to self-hate, I totally won.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah. We could have been.
Dan,
that's great. I'm looking at something this morning where I just noticed walking around doing my thing and noticed the process that I'm in a lot, which is if I know I'm going to have to do this, so if I pack this and leave this here, then when I walk by there, I won't have to pick it up again. And like, just like try to get things so that they all just work really smoothly.
And you can orchestrate that.
In a really elegant way.
Yeah. Very elegant, yeah.
And so there were, I noticed a few things about this in succession. And the first is, I'm like, okay, this is a process that can easily lead to suffering, because then if it doesn't work, or if somebody else messes it up, which happens when you live with other people, then it can be really frustrating.
Yeah.
Right? And so that was like, this was going on about the payoff. I was like, oh, well, the payoff to wanting to do this all the time is that I get to be frustrated all the time.
Yeah, because it's kind of a setup.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's too many variables, and like you said, when you are with other people, so something is going to get thrown off.
Right, and the best part was, I think for a long time I would have been like, okay, well, I just won't try and make things perfect anymore, because that's just a recipe for disaster. It's a setup, right? But then I was like, but it's fun. It's fun when it works.
Uh-huh.
It's fun when you like get that thing and you walk by your hermitage and you've already out in your back up. It's like, it's fun. I like doing that. It's like, no, I can still enjoy doing that.
Wow.
As long as it doesn't get frustrating or doesn't work.
Yeah, wow, that's that recontextualizing, right?
Yeah, like I don't have to give up the whole process. I can just give up the self-hating.
Well, that really nails what the suffering is.
Yeah.
It's not the actual thing.
Right.
It's all the meaning that gets made out of it if it doesn't, quote, work. Like, but if it, I mean, the way you're talking about it, it's like a game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I got so upset this morning. A couple things went, quote, wrong.
Uh-huh.
And in the past, when exactly those things would have gone wrong, I always spent the morning tortured about it. And I was like, well, yeah, okay. I mean, you know, I misjudged some things. I haven't been here for a long time. Like, it's like, okay,
right,
it's gone. And it's like, it's just like, okay, that doesn't mean I shouldn't have tried to do what I tried. I mean, it doesn't mean
it tries to like cancel out everything you've done up until, you know, when you were born or something. I shouldn't have done anything.
Sit there. Stop trying to do it.
Yeah, really. I mean, gosh. It's such an advantage of never being in the privileged environment.
Yeah.
Like you said, I'm just going about doing what I do. And then, oh, oh, there's a process. Yeah. And, oh, that's a process that goes on all the time. And then, holy cow, you just get to see so much about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just like what we were saying about you're seeing the process, and it tries to get you to go, well, that's just caused a lot of frustration. You shouldn't do it at all. Right. Like, well, actually, I kind of like doing it. And as long as I, and again, it's just such a fun place to practice, can I play that game with myself and not go to the self-hate?
Yeah, you have to. It's exactly it. It's like it's
which is what you're practicing.
Exactly. That's the choice. And it's important because there's also notice that there's sort of an arc in my life where I would say, like, for the first half of my life, my body got more and more predictable. And I think I'm just over the edge now where it's starting to get less and less predictable. And from everything I can see, that just, like this, I haven't seen nothing yet. Lots of plans and optimizations and things like that don't work out. It's good to be practicing this, like, otherwise it could be really frustrating.
And you said your body, was that
the thing? Yeah, everything. How long it takes me to do something, or how many bodies wants to want a meeting, or whatever. Like
on that one arc that we can probably relate to at the beginning, everything works well. It is kind of optimized. And even though we actually don't have any control and nothing actually is really predictable, it does tend to work well.
Right.
And then there's this place that arc kind of changes where some things don't work as well. And you don't really sometimes know where it came from or why it's going on. And so those plans of optimizing, you know, kind of like having the little thing set up so when I walk by the it's not working out as smoothly.
Exactly.
And so, which is fine, actually. Mm-hmm. And what you're practicing is, I don't need to go to frustration over that. Mm-hmm. And so those two practices really go together. Yeah. Sounds like a lot of freedom, too.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Love it. See what happens to you. Thank you.
Karen?
I went back to my dorm room last night, and so true to form, because I like to do things in an organized way, I kind of wrote down the five big content sort of things that are going on right now.
The big deals,
and then and they're all fine. I mean, they truly are all fine. You know, one of them is, I have a 93-year-old mother, and I'm thrilled to have her. She's just precious. But in what I'm trying to do, there's a whole little conversation. Like, I should be with her this week instead of here, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So each of the five things I wrote down just real quick what the voices were saying. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a little process map.
Yeah.
Like I could see each one could be a process map. And the thing that I saw this morning that was just good about seeing it like that, like these are there could be way more than five things, but those were like the primary things. Is that what dropped in was, because, I was saying I want to have a more simple lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so, but the whole con, the whole thing feels so big and unwieldy.
Yeah.
And, but what dropped in was, what's the next step? What's the first step?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's this tendency to look at things like this, all five things, you know, and some of them are pretty big, you know, like doing things I've never done by myself, and and the biggest looming thing right now on a content level is selling my home that I've lived in for almost 40 years. Mm-hmm. And how to sort of orchestrate that, because a lot of the stuff there, even though it's technically, it was left with me. It was never anything I ever knew what to do with in the first place.
Here it is in your lap now.
Yeah, and so here it is. It's just, you know, this was life. This is what life offered or whatever. And so, and there's nothing the matter with any of that, but I get overwhelmed in all the processes around, and how, what that entails, and you know, like how many inspections do I need to get, and like how do I do that, and who do I get, and I'm kind of skeptical, I don't know that I believe everything everybody, you know, all these things come into play.
Yeah.
And
which can feel very overwhelming.
Yeah, it can. Yeah, and so that's how I was looking at it last night. But there's that piece, and then there's the piece of I don't want my life to be all about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, you want that simplicity.
Yeah, but that's what it. That's just what I got. You know, like I really there was truly that's just how it played out.
Yeah.
And so given that, and given that there really is nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. To just to somehow make my way through with what's the next step?
Yeah.
Or how can I be here?
Yeah.
And hear the next step.
Yeah. How can I be here to hear
when I'm on
step?
In that?
It's very noisy, isn't it?
It's noisy and
it's hard to
feels
get to that.
Impossible.
Yeah.
And,
it feels impossible.
You know, it feels like I'll never. Well, it feels like okay. I can see the writing on the wall. I can see the rest of my life is going to be. You know.
Yeah.
Doing all this stuff.
Making your way through all these.
Yeah. And
yeah, but what I really want is this, but I can't have it because,
yeah.
we can guess the voices are saying, because you're always going to be like, this is always what's going to be going on, this is what your life is going to be like. And in a way, I mean, there's some, I don't know, the word grace is coming up for me in that place that you were just saying, well, yeah, this is here. I didn't, like, plan for that to happen or that thing, or to be doing these things on my own, but that's what's here. You know, and I love that place of so I'm feeling kind of overwhelmed and like, well, let's bring in organized care. And, you know, watching that process as you go through it and just writing down, well, what are the voices saying under these kind of five, you know, big deals? And getting a sense of, well, what is it saying? You know, be like, what is actually going on here? You know, then you start to get some clarity about what's happening to the person and why they feel that way. And then it sounds like in that process, you know, there's that space that opens up and it's like, huh. Well, what about what's next life? Or how to be here to hear the next step?
Yeah.
Which makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you're talking about there's a lot of things and feeling overwhelmed, well, you know, it's kind of like that story of in the kitchen with we have those, where the steam pressers happen, and this woman had it just like blow up, and so stuff was like all over the kitchen, you know, just everywhere.
Pressure cookers,
thank you. And just kind of completely overwhelmed. This is in every single thing. We'll just start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, well, I can't do all that. We'll just start somewhere. What's the next thing? And being open, I think you were pointing at, for that first step to be guided. Because really, with all that's going on, it's not a lot of room for that still small voice, is there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you recognize that. You know the difference between those voices.
Yeah. Yeah, it sets it up that has to be my life, like, because I am organized. I mean,
uh-huh.
Or I like organization. I like a certain amount of organization. So I want those things to be kind of okay. And yet, and so it sets it up that's what I have to tend to.
Yeah.
Or there's any room for Karen to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's super neat that I just ended up here this week.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, that isn't true.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It isn't true that you have to have all these things set up for Karen. Here, you're actually proving it right now, right?
Yeah.
Those things are going on.
Yeah.
And here's Karen. Happy treat.
And it could be that my life is, it could be, you know, you never know, but it looks like it can be, life can be messy and, you know, and just really, really full. Mm-hmm. And, and
it's quite a different view, huh?
It doesn't mean that I can't go do the things that the heart really wants to.
Yeah, boy. Once we get that out there, we can really start questioning it. That's not even true.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe sometimes life is full and sometimes it's messy. And all that can be going on, and that doesn't have anything to do with, you know, I can go do this. I can do these things that I can enjoy. I can put everything over here and come on retreat. Yeah. And I love that, again, that line, I don't know if I quite reflected it back to you, the question around, you know, what's next life or something like that. I mean, what a way to move from the busy and overwhelmed to a simplified lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, that question does that. It's almost like it's irrelevant, all the stuff that's going on, if you're looking from what's next life, what's the next step.
Well, I realized last night when I was, what dropped in last night, I didn't say it, is that even before I started talking, the simple lifestyle has to be in here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And
yes, it gets us chasing it out of there.
Yeah.
But as you're so clearly detailing for us, it's about the process.
Yeah.
And that's going on here.
Yeah. Because this feels like a really simple lifestyle here, but I bet there's so much going on all the time.
Yeah.
And but it's learning to maintain it in here. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the practice. So anyway, I have my comb. So thank you.
Careful.
Yeah.
I'm looking at kindness, and I think we've basically been talking about that, the whole group. Two days ago, there was one of those beetles that bite you, condos beetles, in my house, on my wall, and it was a big one, and I had a real startled response, and so I captured it and took it outside. And ever since, any time I feel a sensation on my body that I don't know what it is, I get that startled response.
Uh-huh.
And
it's
on my head.
Yeah, it's about to bite you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you just put it on the side.
Yeah, but there's such more.
There's more.
And I'm checking chairs before I sit in them, and the bed and the covers, and I'm going to do that as long as I need to.
But that's the end of the self-hate about it, right?
Yeah. Now, self-hate wants to say all the things that it would say. You shouldn't be like this or whatever. And this is not Zen. I'm sure it's real clear about what is.
Yeah, exactly. That's another desire. Don't quite seem to know a lot about Zen as well. Let's hear what you have to say about that. Yeah.
So it just feels like the kindest thing.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's energy. Energy moves. It'll pass.
Yeah.
The startle response won't be here for it.
Yes.
And it might be, what if it is?
Okay. Okay. So what? Yep. Yeah. Yeah, what kindness to just accept what's going on. And, I mean, what a response, you know. You're going to check, and you're going to keep doing that, and you shouldn't.
And as long as you keep questioning it, be sure I'm going to.
Yeah.
And as soon as you shut up, maybe not.
And that response, that kind response, we're going to do it as long as we need to. There's no reason to have a conversation about it anymore. Yeah. And if it keeps going on, okay. I mean, boy, there's that place of not, we were just talking about not giving it energy.
Yeah.
Right? And as you said, boy, our experience of things like that, anything really, is that it's energy.
Yeah.
And when we're not getting stuck with it by giving it a lot of attention in that kind of way,
resisting it, or
believing I shouldn't, then it just tends to move on through. That's been our experience.
So I don't know if this really has to do with my comb, but like I just noticed how nice it is here.
Right now, this one.
Yeah, well, no, just in general, just like I was looking at the leaves on the sides of the path where they are covering the ground and probably keeping the moisture in them. Well, isn't that a good system? Like, that's nature has already figured out how to do that, and it looks so lovely and just
automatic mulching going on.
Yeah, and just so I just find that the environment is very inspiring. And what I heard this morning was, it just made me kind of go, oh, cool. With this little bird going, what? 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 And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? That just, like, everything is going, what?
Every hair is to here to support our enlightenment, our awakening. What a fun place to be, right? That's the projection onto things.
Yeah, I recognize the projection, and it's sort of like that is, but it's sort of my, it's like my big canvas.
Yeah, it's your big canvas. Yeah, yeah. There's the intelligence of nature. The leaves coming down and keeping the moisture in. There's the birds supporting our koan process by saying, what? 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 Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I'm just feeling a lot of gratitude for being here and for all the people who have, created this environment. You know, it's like the little Cootie is just like so perfect, and when I lie in bed I could look up and open the curtains and see the moon. Like, people would pay big bucks.
Yeah, not everybody,
well, if they knew what was important. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, well, if they were here to receive it in the way that you're describing here, what's going on for you.
Yeah, so I just feel, so I'm just open to more of the universe saying, what?
Yeah.
And maybe it has an answer, but maybe it just says what?
Maybe it just says what? Yeah, and we just get to delight in that process and be inspired, as you were saying.
Yeah.
Well, I just got I don't know if this was kind of an answer, a little answer to my koan, but just the, talking about kindness just now, it's just felt like sort of the answer that I needed just then, because I was having...
Do you want to remind us of your koan?
What's the one thing, what am I going to talk about? I haven't prepared, and kind of just all this going on, and kind of tense, feeling a little off, like the thing, and then the word kindness came up, and was just like, oh yeah, that's just kind of it's okay, just being there.
It's okay, yeah, just being here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It kind of came in, was there, and it was kind of moving. Moving on.
That tension kind of coming in.
Well, no, but I meant the feeling of the kindness, like, that was there. It was there. And then it's gone away a little bit.
So the process is noticing just while you're in the room, like, oh, I didn't prepare, what am I going to say? And just kind of remove some tension. And you're kind of, sounds like kind of holding that koan or being held right here, and it kind of comes in for you. One thing, and as you're listening, there's that opening, kindness. And there is the experience of kindness. Well, it's okay. It's right here. And then noticing, well, it kind of feels like the kindness was here and it's moved away. Or maybe perhaps I'm being told it's moved away. Mm-hmm. Just watching that.
Yeah. And it became also like the question of, oh, what do I say today? Or then it was there, like something to say.
Wow. That's kind of reassuring, isn't it? that pressure we can all relate to, what are you going to say? And then when it came time, it was just there. Here it is. Thank you all.